curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. How are you doing today, Ron?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I am wonderful. Very excited about today. We're going to be talking about something that you know is near and dear to my heart and gets me all fired up, which is owning your profile as a leader. So we're going to dive in there. And I want you to talk about your experiences and why this topic of owning your profile gets you going.
So I am dyslexic, and I say that now. I didn't know I was dyslexic till I was a junior in college. And the university I went to required, I'm sure they don't anymore, but that time they required to pass freshman English, you had to take a 100-word spelling test and you had to pass the test. I could not pass the test. I dropped freshman English 3 times because I couldn't pass the test no matter how much I studied. And I'd never been able to pass a spelling test. People just assumed I was either a poor speller or I was not challenging myself. I was not studying, but I've never in my life passed a spelling test ever. I mean, I just can't spell. And so a graduate student who knew that I was struggling with this was teaching the class, and she asked me to stick around. And so she went through every word on this 100-word spelling test and asked me for a definition of every word. Boom. Nailed every definition of it. So then she wrote a few words on the board and said, "Now, what are these words?" I recognized the word, told her what the word was. She misspelled a couple of words intentionally, and I couldn't figure out what the word was. And so she identified that the form of dyslexia I have is I see all words as pictures. So I don't see individual. I can't sound out a word. Now, thank goodness for computers and spell check, because it has really empowered me. But having me repeat or write something very quickly on an oral spelling test, today I still couldn't pass that test. And so I began to understand and get on this journey of people are different, and having one way of validating people is a huge error we make. And so they figured a workaround for me on my dyslexia. I also had trouble writing, because when you're dyslexia, writing individual letters to make a word, I have to see a picture. It's a bit like seeing a painting and saying, I want you just to draw the eye for me and then draw the hair and do things in pieces. It probably doesn't come out very well. So for me, I had to use, I'm sure they don't do it anymore, but when they teach kids drafting, they had templates of individual letters that taught you to write in a square. And so I wore out dozens of those templates as an adult, learning to make letters in a very fast way so I could train my mind to that template picture became my version of drawing the eyeball. And it is really, and I keep one of those templates in the drawers of all the desks I have to remind me, not that I have a deficiency or that I'm different, but that people are different, and then I can't expect everybody that learns the way I do or doesn't learn the way I do that they're right or wrong. And so when I discovered Gallup strengths and the various, and there's a half a dozen great kind of systems like that, it really gave me permission to accept my own differences as strengths. And as a parent, you know, you and I both, all parents deal with the same thing, that different kids are good at different things. And, you know, my daughter, Kelsey, was student body president and got great grades and honor roll and National Honor Society and all those things. But she really, really struggled with math. And I could have been that parent that said, "What do you mean you got 6 A's and a C? What's wrong with you? You need to work harder on that C." But when we went through the strengths evaluation and we did some other things, we realized she has a mind that doesn't work well for that math. Now, the world's expectation is that you're going to be competent at algebra. I have no idea why. I've never used algebra in my life since I got through it in college. I love geometry. I love physics, but algebra doesn't serve me at all. It's not a building block for those things for me. But as we sat down with her and talked about it, you have to be competent at those things. So the strengths evaluation and Gallup allows you to know where to pour your energy into. What are those things that are in your top 10, top 12, maybe for some people, top 15? I think that's, I'm probably only really have any chance of improving my top 12, but that's where I focus my energy on. Now, I have to be competent at those other things in the bottom because you don't want to be like that, you know, that cliche of the scientists who can only talk about science and has no empathy, has no human skills, has no ability to communicate. You don't want to be a cliche of your own talents. So you have to understand where your weaknesses are. What are those things on your bottom of your scale? But then you have to, you can't pour into trying to make your C an A if it's never going to be an A. Pour into making your A an A plus. Becoming world class at those skills, but also then as a leader, understanding, you know, it's the Einstein quote, and I quoted it a few weeks ago, I think, that, you know, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll spend its whole life believing it's a failure. Probably butchered that, but that's the premise of it. And that's what talent and strengths and understanding your own strengths are, and giving yourself permission to be great. Because that everybody has the ability to be great at something. But if we spend our whole time cursing ourselves because we're only good at swimming and we're not good at climbing trees, or we hang out with people who judge us because you can't climb a tree very well, fish boy, we're going to spend our life miserable. And the people we lead are either going to be miserable or hopefully they leave us, because no leader has the right to keep people around if they're going to make them feel bad.
Sure. And I know I come at this with a background in strengths. Yeah, so I spent a lot of time.
I should have had you answer that because you're the strengths coach.
I spent a lot of time studying strengths. And so strengths is, for me, just one of the many ways that you can learn more about your profile. And I've taken a lot of different assessments. I continue to try to grow through better understanding how I personally tick. I think it also gives you an opportunity to really understand how you don't tick as well. But what I love about the strengths concept is the very premise that every single human being on the face of the earth has all 34. So what strengths is really doing is measuring your intensity in those. And for a leader, I think I was recently in a coaching engagement with an individual who for years had felt like, and had even had leaders say, that they didn't have strategy, that strategy was low. They weren't very strategic. And when you looked at this individual's top strengths, they were very high in things that we would say are typically like relationship type skills, and very high in execution type skills. And it was amazing that by asking, you know, well, how do you feel like you have been so successful without being strategic? And her answer was, well, I usually know who to go to when I'm trying to work through a process to ask them good questions about, like, what would you do if you had this problem? And I was like, exactly.
That sounds pretty strategic.
You have strategy. You leverage your talent, which is relationship skills, to drive your strategy. And I just think that through investing in where you are naturally strong and asking yourself really core questions about, how does this make me strong? And how does this potentially impact the way I also interact with others on more of a negative way? Or where does this create a disconnect with other people who operate from a different platform? You can really, really figure out how you lead and be authentic with who you are. You don't have to approach everything the way that somebody else approaches it. Nor should you. You're not them. So why not use what you naturally have and continue to invest in that and ask really good questions to yourself and others about how and why they do things so that you can really gain more momentum rather than trying to teach yourself to do something that's really not who you naturally are.
Yeah, no, I think that's critical. You know, we have a great example on our team, Heather Baker, who leads our creative side. Heather's 34th strength is woo. So the lady who leads our creative side and has won all kinds of awards is the editor-in-chief of our magazine. I believe her number one is strategic. So she knows that woo is the thing that she's got to be very conscious about and surround herself with people who understand the woo piece. Otherwise, everything she tends to do feels like the best written term paper you've ever seen in your life. And so understanding that and figuring out the yin to your yang is absolutely critical. The problem still has to be answered and mastered. It's the process you use to do it.
Exactly. It comes back to really being honest with yourself about what are you strong in and what do you need to leverage other individuals for, and spending time developing those relationships that you need in order to be successful, and continue to invest in yourself in ways that are in alignment with what you're naturally born to do or hardwired to do.
You know, you mentioned something, though, that I think is really important, and not because I'm trying to hustle more consulting fees for you, but the idea of the 34 strengths. I found it overwhelming when I took that work and you get a description of each one. I needed a guide. I needed somebody to walk me through and talk about how my behaviors manifested themselves in each strength, about where within each category, where my strength and weakness was, how I was going to mitigate that either by associating with people who had different things, different areas of strength than I did, or what my kind of workarounds were. But I thought it was really critical that I had somebody to take me through that. And I did it over the phone with a lady who I've stayed friends with. I've never actually met her. We're kind of those online good question coaching friends. But I encourage people to do that. Don't work in isolation or think that you can just take the test and do the 34. I don't know, what's it, $70 or $90 or something? Yeah. But do that and then invest in somebody to walk you through it, because then you can own it. Otherwise, if you're like me, I focused on my deficiencies. I went to the bottom. The team has a 440s, which we've talked about, but I still have an annual review with my board of directors. And when I get it, I go to the last page. Did I meet expectations? What are the numbers? And I think leaders all do that. So we go to our 30th strength, and we want to focus on mitigating our weakness, and you need a coach to show you the intensity. So again, not trying to hustle consulting for you, and Frank, I don't know if you've even got time right now, but this idea is you got to have somebody guide you through this so you understand how you can be amazing, because you really were put on this world to be amazing.
And I think that's a really good point, Ron, in terms of owning your profile. And I think we live in a world where it's really easy to have quick access to a survey about yourself, or to take this assessment or that assessment. And really, regardless of whatever assessment you take, the actual work comes into, like, how do you apply that? And how do you continue to exercise it and make it a part of a practice? Because you can know your top five strengths, but if you're not doing anything with them, if you're not studying them, if you're not leaning in to how those make you work, or for people who have taken other assessments, if you're not really leaning into the, you know, Myers-Briggs or whatever assessment you're taking, you know about yourself, but you haven't owned it. And so the key here, and I know one of the things we had talked about as we were talking through this owning, was really the emphasis on owning. It's not knowing, it's owning. Like, do you know and own who you are so that you can authentically lead from that place?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And that's one of the reasons, you know, we talk about Gallup because it's been validated. And there are lots. I was just looking, and there's, you know, there must be 40 different assessments. But make sure the assessment you're looking at is either valid for you or is even a valid assessment. Sarah Mansbarger, who we work with, who focuses all of her efforts around these areas of developing leaders. Sarah and I were laughing the other day because we found a new assessment. It was all the rage online. And so I took the assessment three times and came out with three different results. And they weren't even close. It wasn't like you're on the verge of this where, you know, I know that I tend to be an introspective person, but this one had all kinds of different characteristics. The test just wasn't valid. It was just somebody created it to generate traffic for their website. So make sure the stuff that you're doing is valid, because first, do no harm. And so don't put your team or yourself through foolishness because you're using something because it's hip or popular.
So once again, Ron, we've talked a lot about owning your profile today. And I know this was a topic that came in as we asked the listening audience, what are the things that you'd like to hear from Ron about? So if you have another topic, or if you want to go deeper into something that we've addressed today, please let me know. Carla at consultantconnect.org or Ron at ronkitchens.com. We love hearing from you. We love your feedback on the podcast, as well as suggestions of where we can go from here. So if you have ideas, do not hold back and please throw them out there to us. And thank you again, Ron, for sharing your insights with us today.
Thanks for being here. This was fun. I enjoyed it. We'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.